Welcome to the podcast of Mosaic Church, celebrating diversity within community.
This week, we're going to kind of take a break from Ephesians. We are on a Palm Sunday, and this is the Sunday in the church calendar that historically either does one of two things. It talks about Jesus' triumphal entry into Jerusalem. It was triumphant because the people there had been excited to see Jesus. It was a little bit, there was some prophecy that Jesus had kind of kept saying, kept warning, kept telling about, this is going to happen, but there's something that's going to follow. And so a lot of times on Palm Sunday, we'll hear that message of this triumphal entry, and sometimes we'll hear the message of what happened through the course of that week. Because the course of that week, we have a couple of stories. And if you read Luke 22, which is where we're going to be, kind of Luke kind of compiles them all in like one quick place, right? Mark just kind of glosses over the whole thing, and Matthew kind of takes a different perspective. And John, he kind of writes out there, right? He kind of, it's a little bit different with John. Luke kind of is like a real succinct kind of telling of this that goes all the way through that day of Jesus' arrest, kind of starting that morning. And so we're going to read Luke 22, but we're just going to transition to a series real quick for 2 weeks, and then we're going to jump back into Ephesians called Known. And what we're going to do is we're going to focus on two individuals, and this week we're going to focus on Peter, but two people who had different kind of interactions with Jesus during this death and burial and resurrection that we get to celebrate next week. But there are people that Jesus knew. And we're bringing out this idea that God knows each of us intimately. And we're going to see through the course of Peter's life how God knowing him, but yet still loving him, remarkably changed Peter's life. And so I just wanted to explain that when you see that up there. That's why. And so we're going to read Luke 22, and I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I'm going to read the whole thing, okay? So kick back, relax, and I'm going to read not from my normal Bible, because I don't know where it's at. That's horrible, I know. But I'm going to read from the New American Standard. And we're going to start at the verse 1 and go all the way to the end of Luke 22. So the reason I let you guys know that is because what I'm reading may be different than what's on the screen. But if you don't have a Bible, there will be all the scripture there on the screen. Verse 1 of Luke 22. Now the feast of unleavened bread, which is called the Passover, was approaching. The chief priests and the scribes were seeking how they might put him to death, for they were afraid of the people. And Satan entered into Judas, who was called Iscariot, belonging to the number of the 12. And he went away and discussed with the chief priests and officers how he might betray them. They were glad and agreed to give him money, and so he consented and began to seek a good opportunity to betray him apart from the crowd. And then came the first day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us so that we may eat it." They said to him, "Where do you want us to prepare it?" And he said to them, "Enter. When you have entered a city, a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him to the house that he enters. And then you shall say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says to you, where is the guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he will show you a large furnished upper room and prepare it there." And they left and found everything just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when the hour had come, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, "I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover before I suffer. For I say to you, I shall never eat it again until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he said, "Take this and share it amongst yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until the kingdom of God comes." And when he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and he gave it to them, saying, "This is my body which is given for you. do this in remembrance of me. And in the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. Behold, the hand of the one betraying me is with mine on the table. For indeed the Son of Man is going as has been determined, but woe to the man by whom he is betrayed. And they begin to discuss among themselves which one of them might be the one who was going to do this thing. And there also arose a dispute among them as to which one of them was regarded as the greatest. And he said to them, the kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who have authority over them are called benefactors. But it is not this way with you. But the one who is the greatest among you must become the youngest, and the leader like the servant. But who is greater, the one who reclines at the table or the one who serves? Is it not the one who reclines at the table? But I am among you as one who serves. You are those who have stood by me in my trials, and just as my Father has granted me a kingdom, I grant you that you may eat and drink at my table in my kingdom, and you will sit on thrones judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has demanded permission to sift you like wheat. But I have prayed for you that you may not fail, and that you, once you have turned again, strengthened your brothers. He said this to him, Lord, with you I am ready to go to both prison and to death. And he said, I say to you, Peter, the rooster will not crow today until you have denied three times that you know me. And he said to them, when I sent you out without money, belt and bag and sandals, did you not lack anything? I'm going to read that again. I apologize. He said to you, when I sent you out without money, belt and bag and sandals, you did not lack anything, did you? They said, no. And he said to them, but now whoever has a money belt is to take it along. Likewise, also a bag, and whoever has no sword is to sell his coat and to buy one. For I tell you that this which is written must be fulfilled in me. And he was numbered with his transgressors. For that which refers to me has its fulfillment. And they said, Lord, look here, are two swords. And he said to them, it is enough. And in verse 39, he came out and proceeded, as was his custom, to the Mount of Olives. And the disciples also followed him. And when he arrived at the place, he said to them, pray that you not enter into temptation. And he withdrew by a stone's throw, and he knelt down and began to pray, saying, Father, if you are willing, remove this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. And now an angel of heaven appeared to him and strengthening him. And being in agony, he was praying very fervently, and his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. And when he rose from prayer, he came to his disciples and found them sleeping from sorrow. And he said to them, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray that you may not enter into temptation. And while he was still speaking, behold, a crowd came, and the one called Judas, one of the 12, was preceding them. And he approached Jesus to kiss him. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? And when those around him saw what was going to happen, they said, Lord, shall we strike with the sword? And one of them struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. But Jesus answered and said, no, stop, no more of this. He touched his ear and he healed him. And then Jesus said to the chief priests and the officers of the temple and the elders who had come against him, have you come out with swords and clubs as you would against a robber? While I was with you daily in the temple, you did not lay a hand on me. But this hour and the power of darkness are yours. And having arrested him, they led him away and brought him to the house of the high priest. But Peter was following at a distance. And after they had kindled a fire in the middle of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter was sitting among them. And a servant girl, seeing him as he sat in the firelight looking intently at him, said, this man was with him too. But he denied it, saying, woman, I do not know him. A little later, another saw him and said, you are one of them too. But Peter said, man, I am not. And after about an hour had passed, another man began to insist, saying, certainly this man was with him, for he's a Galilean too. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are talking about. And immediately while he was speaking, a rooster crowed. And the Lord looked at Peter, turned and looked at Peter, and Peter remembered the word the Lord had said, how he had told him, before the rooster crows today, you will deny me three times. And he went out and he wept bitterly. And now the men who were holding Jesus in custody were mocking him and beating him. They blindfolded him and were asking him, saying, "Prophesy, who it is, the one who hits you?" And they were saying many other things against him, blaspheming. When it was day, the council of elders of the people assembled, both the chief priests and the scribes. They led him away to their council chambers, saying, "If you are the Christ, tell us." But he said to them, "If I tell you, you will not believe. And if I ask a question, you will not answer. But from now on, the Son of Man will be seated at the right hand of the power of God." And they all said, "Are you the Son of God then?" And he said to them, "Yes, I am." Then they said, What further do we need to have testimony of? For we have heard it ourselves from his own mouth." Let's pray. God, as each of us are more than capable of the same blasphemy and of the same rejection, God, would you instill it deep in our hearts, this story of your sacrifice even in the midst of that, and that none of these people that we read about and none of us in this room are excluded from what this act provided us. So we're thankful. And God, as we read these words and discuss them a little further, would you take the words of these pages off of these pages and plant them deep into our hearts, that we may meditate on you all week. In your name we pray. Amen. So that was a long scripture. But it is the story, it is part of the story of what we remember this week. This week, as the Christian calendar permits, it allows us an opportunity to reflect. And if you remember a little bit from Ephesians a couple weeks ago, we talked about this idea that this is something that Peter never got over, right? This idea that he was in such debt before God. It was the driving force. It was the passion behind what propelled Paul, what propelled Peter, what propelled James, was this idea, what propelled John. This idea that they knew what was their debt. You know, and honestly, we have to be a little bit honest about the situation. These guys got to see it with their own eyes. Peter, who we're going to read about in a second, even deeper, knew what it looked like to deny Jesus, and then Jesus in the flesh physically turned to him and look at him, right? I can't imagine what that's like. However, I've done that. And we each have. And so sometimes when I read these stories, I'm like, yeah, but it's easier for them. They got to witness this. That's true to a degree. Even Jesus said that in John. He said, you know, "Blessed are you," when he was talking to Thomas, remember? He said, "Blessed are you because you've seen with your eyes, but how much more blessed are those who come after you who never got to see?" That's us, right? And so we have to take a bit of faith into this. But we also can read about people who watched all of these miracles. In fact, the same people who triumphantly on the day that Jesus entered in Jerusalem and they laid their coats and their palm branches on the ground for his donkey to pass over, not even for his feet to physically pass over, but his donkey's feet to pass over, and they held him with disregard, they were the same people who said, "Crucify him." And the reason they were there, some of them had heard stories, but some of them had actually seen miracles, right? The same people, think about it, the same people who crucified Jesus, the high priest, okay? His servant's ear is cut off in front of him. And Jesus heals it. And they still crucify him. Okay? So we know. Like, I can tell myself all day long, it'd be better if I could see it. But we know there are people who did see it and still didn't. And so praise God that he's given us the conviction in our hearts to even question this and want to go down this road. And so we're going to talk about Peter just a little bit this morning. And most of us in this room have heard this story enough that we could almost recite it. Maybe not word for word, but at least theme for theme or section by section. We know kind of where the story progresses. We know Jesus entered in. And throughout that week, a lot of things happened. He flipped over the tables in the temple from the money changers who were trying to make a profit off of selling the doves and the pigeons and the things that were needed for sacrifice. And he was angry that they were making a profit off of this. And flips over the tables. And we know that Jesus' feet was anointed with some perfume that cost a lot of money. And that it happened that week. And then we know that that was also the week, depending on the gospel you read, where Jesus talks to a tree and it withers up and dries up and goes away, which is a pretty remarkable thing to see there that week. So depending on the gospels, we get different parts of the story, but we know the major themes. And then we get to the Thursday that we typically celebrate, which was the Lord's Supper, and the fact that God came together with his disciples and he shared his meal with them. He said, here's the new covenant. It's going to be proven by the spilling of my blood, but I'm giving you this so that you remember that. And then we go into the trial, and then we go into the carrying the cross, and we go into the death, and then Saturday, the tomb, Sunday, next week we'll get to celebrate that, although we get to celebrate it every single Sunday. And so we know those major themes, but what I want us to talk about just for a few minutes is Peter's story within that. And it starts out pretty cool. They're going to prepare the Passover meal. They said, Lord, what do you want us to do? And he said, well, John and Peter, you guys go on. And you can imagine, like, I don't know if you guys were, I was never this kid, but I see it in my son. Like, he's this kid. He's the kid who likes when the teacher calls on him, right, to do special things, right? If he wants to be the line leader, like, he loves that. On days when, you know, he gets to do whatever it is, or he has gotten to do something because of his behavior, like he comes home beaming, like, I got to do it. Like, I can see that a little bit maybe in Peter and John's, like, these other 10 guys are, they don't get to do this kind of special thing that I get to do, right? So Jesus sends them and says, let's go and fix the upper room, go in this place, which is remarkable in itself. Like, Jesus was so in tune with the Spirit of God. Obviously, he is God in flesh. But we see this even happen in Peter's life later. Remember when Peter's praying and the Spirit speaks to him and he says, just go downstairs. There's some men waiting for you. And so Peter gets up and goes. Like, he didn't need a doorbell. The Holy Spirit was just telling him, hey, there's some guys waiting for you. So he gets up and goes, and there they were. That's kind of what Jesus did here. He said, just go, and here's what you'll find, which is remarkable. We gloss over that part of the story, but that is absolutely remarkable. And I think it should speak volumes to us about our interaction and our willingness to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into our lives, because I know God still works that way. I just think that there's, like, I just sometimes don't even recognize it or want it to be there. But he just says, go, here's what you'll find. It's exactly what they found, which would absolutely blow my mind, just that. Not the healing of the ear, that would blow my mind. Just, okay, this is crazy. And so they go and they prepare this thing. And so later that day, they're here at the table, right? They're hanging out with their friend, Jesus, who is also kind of mentoring them along the way. And they know that because he's called a rabbi. And rabbis had disciples. And so they knew their unique relationship with him. And here they are sitting there celebrating this meal, this festival, this celebration that's been celebrated for thousands of years at this point. Remembering the Passover prior to being able to come out of Egypt. And Jesus takes this cup and he says, here's the cup, distribute amongst yourselves. And then later, he kind of tells them why. And he says, this is the bread, this is my body, this represents my body broken for you. This is the cup of my new covenant, which represents the blood that I'm about to spill that's going to give us this new covenant. And we get to celebrate that every week. Remember that every week. And then as he's saying that, he says something really probably strange. He basically reminds them, hey, remember I told you I'm going to be betrayed, and the person who's going to betray me is actually with me at this table. And you can hear that argument, right? Everybody wants to know who it's going to be. And if you don't know that, just think of a time you've been somewhere and you heard a piece of gossip. But somebody's like, that's as much as I'm telling you. No more, right? And everybody's like, who did that? I'm curious, like what? It happens, right? And Jesus said, this is going to happen. They're looking like, who is it? And you can kind of hear how this argument goes. Well, it's not going to be me because, you know, whatever. It's not going to be me because I did this. Peter and John, hey, it's not going to be us. We got to set the table. We got to do all this stuff. Like, we got to see the transfiguration. None of you guys got to see that. It's probably one of you other nine because we have been closer to Jesus. Bartholomew, he may have had his own special deal with Jesus. Judas, you can imagine, right? In this scenario, Judas is obviously going to speak up at some point. He's not going to be the one that stays quiet. Because then it's obvious. Oh, well, Judas didn't defend himself, so it's obviously Judas. Hey, imagine Judas, like, I'm the money keeper. Like, I make sure that everything stays on track and I do all this stuff. And this argument happens. And then you can kind of hear how it transitions because the scripture tells us how it transitions because it says then they start arguing about who's the best. And it goes from, and you can hear that, right? That's when Peter says, no, we're better. Like, I'm not going to do that because I'm, you know, I have this thing going for me. Again, Judas probably speaks up, says, no, remember, I deal with all the money. Why would somebody put me in charge, deal with all the money, if this was what's going to be happening? Why would this be the case? Why would this be the case, right? And so they start arguing about who's going to be the best. And Jesus stops them and says, it's not about that. In fact, he could have pulled out the ultimate trump card and said, I'm the best. I'm God. I created all this that you see. But he didn't. What did he say? He said, I come to you as a servant. Which is why it always hits me as strange when we talk in the church about positions that we call leadership, and we start saying who can do this and who can't do this because of leadership qualities. And Jesus comes and says, the leader is the servant. Who's serving among you guys? Who's going to be the least? Who's willing to look at their life and say, I'm the least? And not in a prideful way of like, okay, I'm going to be the least so that I can be the best. But and we all, like, people see it. We're not going to, like, point fingers or raise hands or anything, right? But you all see it. You all know who serves well. And Jesus said, like, that's what I came to do. I came to serve you guys. And, in fact, in an ultimate way, later in the story, which we will continue to celebrate next Sunday, we see that. Jesus did. He went to the cross. He died. He became as, like, one of the thieves, like one of the nobodies, hung up on a cross for us in the ultimate act of service. And so Jesus kind of corrects him, and then he looks at Peter, who he's known very well. Let's just quickly recount the stories that we know about Peter, right? Peter was one of the first ones that we see called, right? He, out of his dad's boat, he was obedient to that call, he left. What else do we know about Peter? You can talk. What else? He got out of the boat. That's probably, a lot of us, that's the next thing that we think about. Or one of the top three is Peter gets out of the boat. I heard someone else say something different. His mother-in-law was healed. Right? Jesus goes to his house and heals his mother-in-law. He didn't go to anybody else's house. What else? We're getting there. But he did. You're right. He cut off the man's ear. That's right. Prior to this night, though, what do we know about Peter? Yeah. So there's that. It goes back to that water story. What else? There's one other, like, really famous story about Peter. What's that? He was, but that was much later. That was later, too. That was in Acts, yeah. Something while Jesus was walking before this night of Passover. No, we already said that. Walked on water. Terry? He recognized who Jesus. That's the other story. Everybody was so obvious we were overlooking it, right? He's the one who said, you are the Christ. Jesus said, who do people say that I am? He said, you are the Christ, the Son of the risen God. And Jesus looks at Peter and he says, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, because flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. But he doesn't stop there, right? He keeps going. And he says, on this rock, Peter, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And there's some interesting things which we won't get into about the history of where Jesus was when he said that, and how that could have applied even more specifically to the people who heard it. But that's what we read. And so those are some of the major things we know about Peter. There's one other kind of negative thing that we hear about Peter right after that. Do you remember what that was? Now that was Transfiguration, but Peter was there at Transfiguration and said, hey, we've seen Moses and we've seen these guys. We want to, you know. Did he want to call? No, that was somebody else. Yeah. So the other thing that's really famous about Peter, right after he says, you're Jesus, you are the Messiah, even though he was Jesus, everybody knew he was Jesus, that was his name, but you're the Messiah, you're the one who's promised to come, and then Jesus predicts his death, and what does Peter do? He said, never, that's not going to happen. What did Jesus say? Get behind me, Satan. All right? So there's some couple of things that we know about Peter, and that Jesus knows about Peter, but Peter's moved past that, right? Not really. But he thinks, I can imagine, he thinks in his mind that he's kind of moved past this, and he looks at Jesus when Jesus looks at him and says, Peter, Peter, Satan has asked, or in this translation it said demanded, in the translation I normally read it said ask, to sift you like wheat. But then Jesus kind of keeps talking. He said, but I prayed for you that you're going to kind of get past this. And then once you turn back, strengthen your brothers. Once you have gone through this and you turn back to me, strengthen your brothers. And so all that happens. And then Peter says, nope, God, you don't know me. I love you more than any of these guys. I'm willing to go to jail for you. I'm willing to die for you. And then that's when Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crows, you will deny me three times. And he didn't give Peter a chance to respond, which is probably good because he probably would have. He just kind of kept talking. That's when he starts talking about this kind of interesting text about money belts and swords. And then they go and they pray. And exactly what Jesus said would happen happened. While they're praying. And Jesus even warns them, pray so you don't fall into temptation. They fell asleep. I've done that. Right? That's a prayer we probably each need to pray every day. In fact, this past Wednesday, we were talking about prayer in our discipleship group, in our community group. And one of the things we talked about, somebody asked about liturgy. And we said, well, you know, kind of the thought was Jesus gave us the first liturgy. He said, when you pray, pray like this. And one of the things in that prayer is lead me not to temptation. Help me stay away from that. That's a great prayer to pray. When I was younger, I probably prayed the exact opposite. You know, like, let me get into the temptation and then forgive me later would probably have been my prayer. That's not what Jesus said. He said, lead me not to temptation. Deliver me from all this. So that your kingdom can come, your will be done. And so Jesus warns him, says, pray that you don't fall into temptation. He comes back and catches him sleeping and tells him it again. But while he's telling them that the second time, here comes Judas, betraying him with a kiss. Ears cut off. We know from a different gospel, not from Luke's, but that it was Peter who did that. Jesus heals the ear. So Peter's kind of at this point doing what he said he was going to do, right? He said, no, Jesus, you don't know me. I'm better than all these people. I will go to the grave for you. I'll cut off this guy's ear like I'm ready to fight. And they pull, Jesus said, put that away. Enough of that. Heals the guy's ear. They take Jesus away into the courtyard of the high priest's house. And Peter, it says, follows at a distance and he sits down. And then exactly as Jesus predicted, because he knew Peter, Peter denied Jesus. And when the third time happened, it says, and that's the most remarkable part of this story. In fact, if you ever watch the Mel Gibson film that where he portrays this, he actually picks up on this part of the story. When Jesus denies him, you kind of see that happen. Jesus turns and looks at Peter. And I think I said when Jesus denied him. When Peter denies Jesus, you actually see that where Jesus turns and looks at Peter. That's an amazing scripture there. To know that the guy that you just denied, the guy who's going in the grave, the guy that you've been friends with, to the point where you're willing to cut off somebody's ear, that's pretty serious. I mean, pretty serious when you're willing to swing your sword at somebody, right? And you do exactly what he predicted. You deny him. He turns and looks at you and says, Peter goes outside and he weeps bitterly. Which we would imagine would be the response, right? Jesus knew Peter so well that he even knew the gnarly things inside. The fact that he had the capacity within himself to deny Jesus, to deny the Messiah. But the other prediction that Jesus gave was that not only are you going to do Satan's asked to sift you, but I prayed for you that you have strength. Peter made it past there because we know on the third day, like Peter and John are the two guys that, you know, Peter gets there second. He's a little bit slower. But they're the guys who get to the tomb first. Like Peter at this point has turned back. And he's strengthening his brothers. And so we have to imagine that what happened in Luke 22 verse 33 where Jesus promises him that and says, I prayed for you. I know you so well. I know it's going to happen, but I prayed for you. So when you turn back, go and strengthen your brothers. But that has to stick close to the back of his mind. That has to be there comforting him a little bit, even though he knows he's let his buddy down. And he's more than just a friend at this point. He's now, he recognizes him as his Messiah. This Messiah who was killed for him. Who was going through all this. He knew him. He let him down. But Jesus loved him through all of that. He didn't love Peter once Peter turned back. He loved Peter before Peter turned away. In fact, he loved him so much, he said, I'm praying for you that it's not too bad. And the remarkable thing about that, when you realize that there is a God out there who knows you, not the good stuff, not the stuff you bring in on Sunday morning, right? Not the stuff that you're doing when you do a Facebook post. Like, nobody really posts a Facebook post or a social media post about, man, I blew it this week. It's always like, check out this thing I made, right? Check out this craft. Check out this recipe. Check out this fantastic piece I wrote, right? I'm really doing well today. Don't post on social media for 6 months. Hey, I gave $1 to a guy on the street today. Look at me. That's what, you know, Jesus sees all the other stuff too. All the times when you turned away in whatever way that looks like for you. And he knows you that deeply. And he loves us that deeply. It is amazing when we can realize that. And that's why we started talking about Paul, how he never was able to get over that. I imagine Peter was never able to get over that. Can you imagine there being a day in Peter's life where he can't remember what it looked like when Jesus turned and looked at him when he denied? I can't, right? I imagine that look. But with gratitude in a lot of ways, because Peter realized in some ways that that had to happen so that he could have salvation. And the same is true for us. Like, Jesus had to kind of go through that. Now, we didn't deny Jesus that night, but we deny him on a daily basis. And he knows that we're going to do that, and he loves us. And so what I want to do really quick is flip to 1 Peter 5, because I want you to read you some words from a guy who turned his back on his friend, who turned his back on his Messiah. But hear the words of hope that Peter writes to other people, because Peter understands there is that hope, that he has been known deeply, but he is loved. 1 Peter 5, we're going to start in verse 6 and go down to verse 11. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God. And we know that Peter knows what he's talking about when he says the mighty hand of God, because God showed his mighty hand to Peter, right? He knew what was going to happen. He predicted it. He healed the guy's ear when Peter got a little too rash. He loved Peter through it. He knew that he was praying for him. He said, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you at the proper time. Casting all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Can you imagine that Peter's response that day is a little bit different if he understands what the end of the story looks like? We get that, right? We understand what the end of the story looks like. I would imagine if I was there today, I'd be like, y'all quit crying. It's cool. Just wait. Just wait. Just wait. Trust me. Just wait. Right? They didn't have that then, but we do. And we can still fall into anxiety and fear just like that, right? You have a health crisis. Boom, it's there. We're worrying. Financial crisis. We're worrying. Any other kind of thing that bugs us, and it is there. But we know the end of the story. Jesus kind of wins it all. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxieties on him, because he cares for you, even though he knows you. Peter didn't add that, but I added that for him. Be of sober spirit. Be on your alert. The adversary, the devil, prowls like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Peter knows that to be true too. But resist him, firm in your faith, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in this world. And after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself perfect, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. To him be dominion forever and ever. Peter is speaking words. I imagine Peter's remembering that night when he writes this, remembering Jesus saying, Satan's going to sift you. He's going to come. I know you. I know that you're going to fall, but I love you. And when you get past that, strengthen those around you, because I'm going to give you strength to do that. And Peter knows that very well. Peter has experienced that. Peter has been sifted like wheat. And yet God loved him in the midst of it, strengthened him, and gave him the ability to strengthen others. And family, this morning, that is the amazing part of each of our stories, that God knows us, that God loves us, even though he knows us. I remember when Natalie and I were dating, like, I wanted to put my best foot forward all the time, right? Because I was afraid that maybe if she knew, like, parts of me that didn't look good all the time, that she wouldn't want to go out on a second date. God knows us all. We don't have to hide. We don't have to pretend in front of God. It gives us the ability to put these things on him. Let him carry our burdens. Let him carry our anxiety and our fear. And it frees us to love other people when we can put that on him. That's the thing that really blocks us from using the blessing that God's given us to bless other people, because we're scared. We need to keep it for ourselves because we need the comfort. We need the money. We need the whatever it is. But when we know the end of the story and that God's there, we can give ourselves away. We can work harder than we ever wanted to, because God will give us strength. We can give away more than we ever thought we could, because God will be there for us, and he loves us. And the fantastic part about that is that he knows you, and he loves you. And that, family, is what our neighbors and folks in our community who don't yet know Jesus need to hear, is the fact that Jesus not only loves them, but he loves them even though he knows them. Because we're each known by God completely, and he still loves us. And this morning we get to come to a table with the picture of this story of what we know happened on that Friday, right? On this week we're going to celebrate Good Friday, and we know that it is the physical breaking of Christ's body that he predicted when he sat at the table with his friends, and he said, this is going to happen, but after it happens, remember me. And we get to come this morning and remember the fact that God did that, even though we weren't people deserving of this. And he knew all that before he did it. And it's a fantastic story. It's a fantastic reason to gather every Sunday and celebrate. But especially this Sunday, of all Sundays, Palm Sunday. And so we're going to come together, and we're going to celebrate this meal. And I'm going to be over here if anybody needs prayer. And or you can, somebody around you will pray with you too if you want. I guarantee it. And we're going to continue with the one last song of worship. But before then, let us pray. God, we thank you that you know us. We don't have to pretend in front of you, that we don't have to hide ourselves in front of you, but that we can be exactly who we are. as broken emotionally, physically, mentally, spiritually as we may come before you. You know that. We don't have to pretend. But you're the God who heals us, who restores us, who strengthens us, who gives us a better story to tell. And so, God, we're thankful. And God, we ask that you would move our hearts this morning to be able to rest in the confidence of knowing that you love us even though you know us. And we're thankful, God. Be with us and move our hearts that we may share this story of love and hope with others, even this week. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you would like more information, please visit us at www.mosaiceasley.org.